الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الغني الحميد المبدي المعيد العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد أحاط بكل شيء علما وهو على كل شيء شهيد أحمده سبحانه وأشكره وأسأله من فضله المزيد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا ندى ولا معين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وخليله أفضل الداعي إلى الإيمان والتوحيد اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد All praises to Allah The self-sufficient, the praised The beginner, the restorer The Lord of the glorious throne who does what he intends, who has encompassed everything with his knowledge, and who is a witness to all affairs. I praise and thank him, the glorious, and I ask him to increase us in his favor. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partners, and no rivals, and no assistants. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and last messenger, and his friend, and the best of those who call the people to Iman and Tawheed. May Allah constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, and to his family and his companions, and all those who call to his way to the Day of Judgment. As to what follows, Ya Ibadullah, O you who believe, O servants of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was reported in the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu as saying, Qala, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَنْ أَكْثَى مَا يُدْخِلَ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ وَسُئِلَ عَنْ أَكْثَى مَا يُدْخِلَ النَّاسَ النَّارِ فَقَالَ الْفَمْ وَالْفَرْجِ Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, was asked, about the main reason why people would enter paradise. And he said, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. He said, the consciousness of Allah, having the fear of Allah, and good character. And then he was asked, what is the main reason why people would enter the fire? And he said, the mouth and the private part. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, did not speak from himself. He spoke representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those parts of the revelation that were not in the form of Quran actually came to him in other forms. And so we consider his hadith, the authentic saying attributed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as being part of this revelation, this guidance, this furqan, this criteria that has come to mankind. And in this we see, he tells us of those people, of the main reason for people entering paradise. And he gives us broad categories. And he tells us that it is taqwa. The main reason is the people, or those who build the consciousness of Allah in their lives. Those who keep their duty to Allah. Those who fear Allah and look for His mercy. But he also said, the other main reason would be husnul khuluq, good character. And so we see that when the character of the individual leads him to paradise, when it is in the way of the sunnah, when it is righteous, then it leads the person into righteousness. But when the character, wal'iyadu billah, is evil, when the inside of the individual is evil, then the outside actions also follow along with what the nafs, with what the qalb, the heart, ruh, the spirit of the person is telling him to do. And he shows us that the people of the fire, we looked at the people of the fire, and we would find that people whose mouth was filled with backbiting, filled with slander, eating haram, using bad language, that the mouth would be one of the main reasons to take people to the fire. And also we find that the private parts, the life, the intimate life of the individual, that all of the things surrounding the respect and honor of women, the respect and honor of men, that when this part is abused, that this can be one of the main reasons that would take people to fire, wal'iyadu billah. O you who believe, when we look at the world today, and when I look at the community here as an individual born and raised in this part of the world, and I look at the young Muslim children going to the schools, and I see many of the new Muslims coming into the society, thinking that this society is a heavenly society, thinking they have entered now a higher part of creation. I remember the dua of the anbiya, of the mu'mineen, that had come to us in hadith, that after the day of judgment, when the people will be crossing sirat, crossing the path that leads to Jannah, surrounded by Jahannam, and all the people will have to cross a tiny, tiny path. And if you waver to one side, if you have evil deeds, you will fall into Jahannam. Some will go across like a flash. Some will go across like the twinkling of the eye. Others will go very, very slow. Some will waver and fall. Others will fall immediately into the fire. And the dua of the anbiya, the dua of the mu'mineen on that day would be, Rabbi Sallim, Rabbi Sallim, O my Lord, save us. And when I look at the young people going to the schools, knowing this society that has the sweetness on the outside, but on the inside is now becoming more and more rotten, I can only remember this dua. Rabbi Sallim. Salimna ya Rabb. Save us from what we see ourselves now living in. O you who believe, many Muslims and non-Muslims were shocked last week. Many people cheered, many people rejoiced at the death of an individual. His name was Ted Bundy, and he was considered to be what is called in this society a serial killer. They say that the 80s, the 70s and the 80s in this technological society, when akhlaq is gone, when character is gone, it is producing a new type of individual. The type of individual who hunts human beings, who kills Bani Adam for lust. He kills children, he rapes and he murders the innocent and the weak in order to get pleasure, in order to enjoy himself. And he may come to you as a businessman. He may look like a successful individual in this life. And this case was a shocking case for many, because the individual was a middle class to upper class person, an established lawyer, a very smart man, a man who was successful, you could see in all different walks of Hayat al-Dunya. But he confessed to the murder of 20 women. And the crime that he was convicted of was the rape and murder, wal-iyadu billah, of a 12-year-old girl. What would drive a man who was so successful in this life, who had everything that America could offer, to lower himself, asfal as-safilin, to become worse than hayawan, worse than an animal, and seek out the innocent and the weak in order to gain pleasure at their death? When he described himself, he said, "I had a Christian upbringing. And when I was young, I was exposed to pornographic literature. I used to find this material in the garbage can outside of the houses, and I would read this filthy literature. Then I began to watch the television and the movies, the blue movies, the pornographic movies. And then I started to feel something else coming inside of me, a form of a beast, a nafs, a mara bisu. The evil side of the self came so strong it overpowered him." And the man asked him, just before he was killed, the man asked him, "What took you over the limits? What made you lose control of your inhibitions, your haya?" And he said, "I used to drink alcohol." And so when he took Umm al-Khaba'ith, the mother of all the sins, when he drank this, his fear was gone. His haya was gone. And then he began to commit these crimes. He could not control himself. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, has showed us about haya. He has shown us in hadith on Uqba ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, that he, alayhi salatu wa salam, said, "Inna mimma adraka an-nas an kalam an-nubuwwah al-ula, idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi'ta." He said, peace and blessings be upon him, "Among the words people obtain from the first prophecy are, if you feel no shame, then do as you please." So when haya has left the individual, when the control of the nafs al-mutma'inna, when it leaves the person, then the person can do anything. He has no more hudud. There are no more limits surrounding his feelings. And so Muslims should be aware of this, because we are living in this society. Our children are being educated with the same education. We are exposed to the newspapers, to the magazines. We are exposed to the education. We are exposed to the movies. We are in the same pot that creates an individual such as this. And so this, wal-iyadu billah, is a danger to us as well as it is a danger to the other people. We must remember the stages that he went through and try, especially in dealing with our children, to help them not to fall into this pit. And if we are in this pit, then we should save ourselves before this nafs, amara bisu, takes us over and changes us into a beast, as this individual, wal-iyadu billah, was changed into. Reading the dirty, filthy literature, using la'ana, cursing and filthy language, watching the filthy movies, and above this, taking in intoxicants, shurab al-khamar, taking in the alcohol, taking the drugs. And we find that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in speaking about the nafs, in speaking about the inside of the person that really controls the person, he told us, al-birru husnul khuluq, والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس رواه مسلم. He told us righteousness is good morality and sin and wrongdoing is that which wavers in your soul and which you dislike people finding out about. So when your inside no longer has haya, then this is what leads you into ism and udwan. This is what takes you into sin. And so it is that attitude about yourself. What is righteousness? What is wrong? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in guidance. He has shown us the example of the anbiya. He has shown us the example of the best people that have been given tafdeel ala al-alameen, that have been preferred over the people. But one of the questions that comes to the mind of many Christian people, the man said he had a Christian background. How, if he has a Christian background, can he see himself committing these crimes? When we look into the present day form of the teachings of Isa alayhi salam, what is left of his teachings, we find terrible mistakes that their scholars and scribes have put into their books. We find that in order to deify Jesus, in order to put Isa alayhi salam in the position of a god, they lowered the other prophets. And so they tried to portray the prophets as being people who committed the worst type of sin. So when these crimes are shown as being committed by the prophets, then the individual tells himself, then I can see myself doing this. If the best of mankind did it, then I myself also can do it. And so when we look at their scriptures, we find these teachings. They said, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ about Nuh alayhi salam in their book called Genesis 9:23-24. They claimed that Nuh alayhi salam had gotten drunk and he was naked in front of his children. They claimed that Sulaiman alayhi salam worshipped idols before he died. This is found in 1 Kings 11, 9-10. And the verse goes as follows. And the Lord was angry with Sulaiman, with Solomon, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. And so they believe in their false belief that Sulaiman alayhi salam died worshipping idols. Wal-iyadu billah. They say that Harun alayhi salam was the one who fashioned the golden calf. And they put this in Exodus 32:4. They say that Lut, alayhi salam, they say he was accused of zina, incest with his two daughters. And they put this in his book Genesis 19:36. They say that Jacob, or Yaqub, alayhi salam, was accused of marrying two sisters at the same time. In Deuteronomy 23, number 2. They accuse Amon, the son of Dawood, of incest and rape in 2 Samuel 13-14. And it continues in their books. And so the wrong image of the prophets is created in their mind. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these prophets in Surah Al-An'am, in many different surahs, He tells us, كُلًّا هَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ كُلًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we guided all of the prophets. All of them were righteous people. All of them were salihin. All of them were righteous. All of them were doers of good. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Qur'an the cleansing of the Old Testament and the New Testament. He has given us the completion of His truth and shown us that these lies that have been told on the Prophet is what the scribes and the scholars have put into the works of Christianity. O you who believe, in the face of this type of akhlaq, this type of character which is being built into the society, we do as Muslims. How do we protect ourselves? First, we have to teach our children and teach ourselves the true story of the Prophet. Teach them that they were all of the salihin. All of them were muhsinin. All of them were guided, وَفَضَّلُوا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. They were all put above the other people of all of the nations. We have to show them their lives, the truth about their lives. And then we have to give the example to our families. If we are the good example, keeping hudud, have haya when the man deals with his wife. The man should have haya, have shame when he deals with his daughter. The wife should have shame when she deals with her son. There should be limits within the Islamic household. If we have the magazines that have these pictures, that have these stories, then we should not have these within our household. We should not encourage our children, through our example, to start to look at this and form their character around this filth and this misguidance. Also, we should talk to our children about intimate matters. We should talk to them when they reach maturity about how a Muslim man relates to a Muslim woman. Show them about family life. We have learned la haya fi din. There is nothing to be ashamed of when we deal with the deen. Show the young man how to be a man in Islam. Show the woman, the young girl, how to be a Muslim woman. Teach them about how to raise children. Teach the boy respect for the womb, respect for his mother. Teach the girl respect for the man and how to deal as a Muslim woman. If we do not teach them, then they will be taught by the magazines. They will be taught by the television. They will be taught by the movies. They will be taught in the school system. And now we see the type of individuals that are being produced by this society. Also, we should teach tahara, teach the sunnah of the purity. How do you purify your body? What are the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam? What are the different parts of the body that you should purify? How do you take care of yourself? These are some of the matters that the father and the mother should be discussing with their children in the home. We do it in a respectful way, but we show them how to approach life, how to approach each other in a respectful way. This practice of sunnah, this teaching of tahara, husnul khuluq, the best character, and above all within our homes, taqwa Allah azza wa jalla, that we would fear Allah and build our homes around the fear and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin astaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafur rahim. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who had the best of character, who completed مكارم الأخلاق, who showed us the best way, the most respectful way that we should deal with each other. He told us the translation of in hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, he who is deprived of gentleness is deprived of good. And he told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, modesty, al-haya, produces nothing but good. And he told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, among the best of you are those with the best character. And he told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, modesty is part of faith. Al-haya min al-iman. And faith is in paradise. But obscenity, the wrong character, is part of hardness of heart. And hardness of heart is in hellfire. And he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah wherever you are. Ittaqullah haythu ma kuntum. Fear Allah wherever you are. If you follow an evil deed with a good deed, you will wipe it out and deal with the people with a good disposition, with a good character. So let us end on these words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should deal with each other with husn al-khuluq. Spread the salam to each other. Smile in the face of your brother. Give the true Islamic feeling when we are dealing with each other. Have respect for the women of Islam. have respect and show honesty and modesty even with non-Muslims. Show them how we have better character than those who do not believe. Give the example for the younger children. Give the example of husnul khuluq and fear Allah in all that you do. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq in this life and the next. And help us always in peace and blessing to Muhammad. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد ان الله بيصلي بالخلفاء الراشدين ابو بكر عمر وعثمان علي صلي بهم من اصل ارحم الراحمين ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات اللهم اغفر للمسلمين في تاجيكستان اللهم اغفر للمسلمين في فلسطين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في أفغانستان وفي فلسطين وفي صوماليا وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله